They have like the little elevator music that comes up when, you know, I've never seen a Twitter Spaces that starts on time because you just like make it, you know, and
there should be like a DJ.
Blast loves the little sounds.
Sorry. There should be like a DJ as a service, you know, you can have 5-10 minutes.
Is that a recorded
that was
laugh
not me.
Track?
Yeah. They have multiple. Look.
That's interesting. I've never seen anything like that. I like.
It's pretty annoying.
Yeah. You know, I like I like these one-liners. You know, like Mitch Hedberg has a bunch of one-liners. Like, you know, these are good because people can just walk in on the middle of them, and they tend not to offend people. So, like. You know, a couple of these while we're waiting. So my fake plants died because I didn't pretend to water them. Yeah, you know, wait, we did. And rice is really great if you're really hungry and you want to eat 2,000 of something. You know, I don't have a girlfriend, but I have a girl that would get mad at me if she heard me say that. No, I'm
that's good.
Yeah, happily married, so I shouldn't have that recorded anyways.
Don't quote me on this.
Late,
yeah, exactly. You know, my friend asked me if I wanted a frozen banana. I said no, but I want a regular banana in a couple minutes, so yes. Yep.
If everything fails.
Yeah. Yeah. If all crypto fails, you know, we can go on the road and just, you know, have, you know, open up in a new vaudeville.
Alrighty, sirs. I feel like 5 minutes, we can go ahead and get started.
Yep. And that's good.
Alrighty. Well, thanks everyone for joining. Today, I'm joined by Blas, our co-founder and CTO, as well as John from Lavana. So excited about today. I think, you know, before we get started talking about all the collaborative efforts that have been happening, I think it's really important to kind of give our community and the broader Polkadot community kind of an introduction to Lavana. So, John, I kind of want to give you the floor and have you kind of walk us through what is Lavana. What are the core features, functionalities? What do you guys do?
Sure, thank you. So I'm Jonathan Karras. I lead communications at Lavana. Lavana has been around for about 2.5 years. We were originally a Terra project, and we are currently deployed on Osmosis, Injective, and Say. We are a perpetual swap, which offers a very unique perpetual swap model, a few different models, actually. That are currently implemented. The first, what we have is a crypto asset denominated or collateralized market, and each of our markets are siloed. So we now have about, I think, 11 or 12 different assets. Our most popular is Atom. So it's single-sided liquidity pools to go long and short, to collateralize long and short positions, which we have up to 30x leverage. On Atom and other assets, you would deposit Atom as a trader, and then you could get leverage long and short exposure. It's entirely on chain. It's peer versus pool. It's instant settlement, instant open. We've got stop losses, limit orders, and take profits all built right into it with no need for an off-chain order book or off-chain sequencing. The system is entirely decentralized, and it exists on a set of smart contracts on these three blockchains, which are which are open source, and you can read and review the code yourself. And so that's our bread and butter market, is our crypto denominated pairs. And we have with that bridged DOT, which we're very excited to bring utility to the Polkadot ecosystem from within Cosmos. You know, Cosmos is very versatile. It's a, it's a hub that kind of brings lots of different blockchains together. So I think what Composable is doing to be part of the IBC network is very powerful. And we're, excited to be a part of that. And one of the major use cases of these highly capital efficient single-sided pools that we have is that we create real yield opportunities for crypto assets. So, for example, our Bitcoin market, it's volatile, but it's often earning 15 to 40% APR paid out in Bitcoin every block. So every 6 seconds, you're getting paid in Bitcoin on Cosmos. You know, right now, I don't remember what the most recent number was for the DOT market, but I remember seeing, well above 10, 15, 20% APR on the DOT market on Osmosis. And this, again, it's paid out because the whole system is collateralized in the underlying asset. So the reward that you get paid in is the actual underlying asset. Now, in addition to that, we also have synthetic markets. So those are like our BNB market, which we just launched on Injective and on Osmosis, is where it's collateralized by either Tether or Circle, USDC or USDT. And those you get paid out in stable coins. So it's a little less lucrative or exciting if you're a long-term holder. Or you're just looking for a place to be able to take the assets that you currently are hodling and make them working assets. But it's got the advantage that we can easily spin up assets that don't have trustworthy bridges. So especially meme coins or things that are very fast, that or have a short lifespan. So the synthetic markets means you could spin up, a Pepe market and then close it down in a month. And users would be able to trade while it's popular and then move on to the next asset. And it still has the capital efficiency and single-sided deposits. And then the third market type that we have is just completely off-chain, or not off-chain because it's our Oracle-based, and we use the Pith Oracle. So we have Forex with 100x leverage on Great British Pound and on the Euro. We will be adding commodities as well. Also, many of them we'll be able to offer with 100x leverage. And these are all settled in USDC, which is now native to Cosmos. And so what we've done with all of this functionality is we've really created the best perpetual swap in all of crypto. It's much simpler to use than order books. It's much more capital efficient than these blended baskets like the GMX model. It's real yield with no impermanent loss paid out with single-sided deposits that are completely siloed. We can spin up lots of different markets, or fees are cheaper than others. All positions are well-funded. That means there's no fear of insolvency. And we can be deployed really on any blockchain that supports Cosmosm. So since we launched a little over 2 months ago, we've had over $190 million of trading volume. I think in the last 24 hours, we've had about $6 million of trading volume. So we're going to hit this week passing the $200 million mark. And we're just, excited to keep building. We've got a lot of really exciting features with native Bitcoin support, with social login, with vaults and automations around basis trading and copy trading. We're going to have leaderboards and we're going to have ETFs and a lot of other really cool stuff, and it's all coming out, over the next couple months.
All right, thank you, John. We're gonna dive into a lot of that stuff, and especially what it means for DOT holders as well. But I know there was a lot said there, so I also highly recommend everyone to head to Livana.finance, check out their docs, read through their website, because a lot of this is coming, especially with all the work that we're doing and collaborating on as well. On that note, Blas, we don't really need to dive too much into Composable, but for, you know, any Livana community members that are listening, could you give a brief intro into what we're doing, what we've been up to, why they should be excited?
100%. So first, it's really impressive to see what Livana has been up to and what's coming. You know, I'm a huge fan of the platform. I'm also really excited about this collaboration. For us, Composable, you know, integrating with Livana with something like this, it's a bit like the big use case, the type of big use cases that we've always been dreaming of. So you know, this really like matches what we actually want to sort of partner with. And what is Composable? Composable is essentially, for you know, people that use Livana that are in Cosmos, it's kind of easier to understand because they're like very used to working with IBC. So we use IBC heavily. It's a bit like our backbone so far to interconnect different ecosystems. We launched an internal sort of bridge inside the, you know, Polkadot ecosystem that connected Kusama and Polkadot first with IBC. That was the first bridge that we that anybody has built outside of, you know, Cosmos connected chains. And then we came up with the bridge that connected .sama to Cosmos. This is how we actually make the connection with Livana possible. And then now we're starting to, you know, basically roll our Ethereum bridge. This is probably our biggest product in the year, which is something we're really, really excited about. And particularly for, you know, people working and using Livana, something that we are excited about is how do we make the UX better? How do we enable people from, you know, Polkadot with dot holders to just come in and trade in Livana? So this is why we're using our Composable VM to, you know, enable the experience for, you know, trading on Livana in a much easier way than, you know, having to basically manually send the assets, trade on using another wallet. We're trying to abstract all this complexity. And this is just really like a very interesting use case for us to sort of start leveraging the technology that we've been building. And this is, you know, something that we're truly excited about. And, you know, having Livana working with CosmWasm really plays out pretty well with everything we have, you know, sort of been building so far.
No, it's really exciting. And I'm a big fan. You know, I know that we've been working on this for a long time now to get support for DOT. You know, I've been very familiar with the Polkadot product and, you know, Kusama and a lot of the parachains that are out there. So it's really exciting to see these communities come together. And as what we've seen with crypto, you know, so often is that the best way to align interest is through token exposure. So I'm very hopeful that I anticipate that the best yield in all of crypto that will be possible to get for DOT holders, you know, in a few months' time from now is going to be on Livana. And so then that's going to bring a lot of exposure, you know, from DOT, from Polkadot community members into the Cosmos ecosystem. And it's just going to get easier and easier with all of the cool tools that Composable is building. And then, you know, conversely, that when Cosmos users get their hands on DOT, they're going to, you know, pay attention to it a little bit more. They're going to see it's going to pop up in the news. It's, you know, it's almost like the principle, like if you buy a used yellow Volkswagen Beetle, you know, and you're like, this is so cool, I've never seen one of these in my life. And then you start driving around, within a month, you're going to see 100 yellow Volkswagen Beetles, because they just pop up. So I found this with Bitcoin.
FOMO.
Yep. So you know, you get some, you get $50 worth of Bitcoin on somebody's cell phone, and then they will just start reading Bitcoin articles. It's like, you know, it's like you read pilled them. So I don't know what the overarching color scheme is of Polkadot. Maybe it's like it's a purple or a green. You know, I've seen a few of them, but we're gonna, whatever that color is, we're gonna that color pill people, you know, by getting a dot in their wallet.
Yeah, actually, something we tried doing, we were not successful, but I think there was like a lot of underlying value in this direction when we built we put a governance proposal for bringing a lot of DOT into Osmosis, and we call it the daemon proposal. It's something that we discussed with Sunny for some time, and it didn't, like, I don't know why, like, the DOT community was not super excited about, but I think, like, as we start rolling out this kind of things and people start seeing what they can do on Cosmos that maybe they cannot do on their ecosystem right now for the time being, I think they're going to be, like, more and more excited to, you know, support these cross-chain initiatives.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And on that note, you know, it's fair to say that this collaboration is going to boost DOT liquidity and activity in the Cosmos. But from a user perspective, is there any plans to have any kind of incentives for users to engage with this early?
So there are right now, we actually just on Osmosis, a governance proposal passed on by Osmo holders that Osmosis contributed 350,000 Osmo tokens, which is just shy of like $100,000. You know, it fluctuates with the price of Osmo. And Levana, a part of that was that Levana committed to airdropping to Osmosis users that are trading on Levana a bunch of tokens, like a similar quantity of tokens, I think even more, if 400,000 Levana tokens. And so that will be part of a, you know, like a retroactive farming event that we're very excited to. And I'm optimistic that a similar relationship will be created once we get past the kind of proof of concept phase with Polkadot, you know, that once we show that there's interest and that there's, you know, trading volume, you know, right now the pool, I think, on DOT on Levana is still pretty small. You know, it's like friends and family, which is like a few thousand dollars in there. I believe the, you know, there's effort right now to put in, you know, like the minimum amount to really get a flywheel kickstarted, which is, you know, around $50,000 with the DOT tokens. And then hopefully once we see a flywheel kickoff, so then we'll be able to issue up a similar proposal for a rewards program around, focused on DOT traders within the Cosmos ecosystem. So I think that's, you know, kind of what we see. You know, it took us about almost 3 months to get this worked out with the Osmosis community. And so I'm hoping that it'll take significantly less time to get it worked out with the Polkadot community.
Okay, amazing. Since we're on this topic, and it just came up, Blas had mentioned this as well, it's kind of educating people on what this means for DOT holders as well. There's a comment here saying, I came in late and heard highest yield on DOT. Maybe, John, you could reiterate DOT perps and just what you meant by that.
Sure. So Levana has single-sided crypto collateral pools for perpetual swap trading. We offer 30x leverage on DOT with no fear of insolvency and single and siloed liquidity pools, meaning that there can be no negative impact to the DOT market, you know, if there's like a meme coin market that blows up or anything like that. There's no contagion risk. So we'll pull up some of the numbers right now, and then we can look and compare that to other markets that we have on Levana to kind of get a vision as to where we want to see the DOT market moving, you know, in the future. So I'm pulling up, I'm going to trade.levana.finance, and then I'm clicking on the earn section. And what I see here is, you know, first thing that's noteworthy is the Atom market is currently paying 33.94, so about 34% APR paid out every 6 seconds, roughly every block, in Atom token. You know, then we've got BNB, which just launched 2 days ago, is paying out almost 3% APR. So hopefully we're going to see that jump up significantly. Bitcoin right now is paying out 18.26%. DOT currently is paying 4.3%. So I think we've got a lot of work to do in terms of raising awareness and getting more traders out there. But I think that the general principle is sound, that as soon as we've got traders on it, the flywheel will kick in. And it's a chicken and the egg. We need to get the initial liquidity, and then the initial liquidity opens up the opportunity for real trading volume, which could be that you want a degen leverage shape, but it could also be that you just want to hedge. You know, you can go market neutral by shorting DOT and then holding a liquid state DOT token, and then you're market neutral and you're just earning from both sides, the long and the short. So to continue that, the euro on Lavana is paying out 30% APR. Great British pound on Lavana is paying out 32.52% APR. Osmo is paying out 37% APR. Say is paying out 44% APR. And ETH is paying out 8.9% APR. So we've seen here numbers, you know, as low as 3% APR and as high as, you know, 45% APR. So there's, the system is very elegantly designed. And just given the, you know, how popular DOT is and how prestigious it is, I'm very optimistic that once we get the initial liquidity deposit into the DOT pool, that it's going to encourage leverage traders, you know, to trade up to 30x leverage, and we'll see what, and then that's how I think the question started. You know, what I'm optimistic about is that we'll see the highest yield opportunities in terms of real yield, meaning not getting paid some altcoin that has questionable liquidity or, you know, questionable token economics, but actually just being able to get DOT tokens for depositing single-sided known permanent loss DOT. I'm hopeful that Lavana is going to be the king here.
Incredible. Thank you for that, sir. And we'll be releasing more information on this as well. Be collaborating on a blog and some more info for all of the users.
I have actually one question. Looking at the page, what is the difference between the APR of like the LP and the XLP?
So one is, that's a great question. So LP tokens are liquid staked, and XLP are bonded staked. So with many protocols, Osmosis, I think was one of the most popular ones to use this model, is that if you stake your LP token, you get additional rewards. And so in our case, the unbonding period is linear over the course of 45 days. So that means halfway through, half of your bonded tokens are unbonded. And so that happens on a per block basis. And you get rewards, you know, the entire time during the unbonded process. So we highly recommend, you know, if you're taking a long-term HODL view on any type of asset, you know, to get the extra yield by, you know, bonding your LP tokens.
Cool. Thanks.
I think I'd also like it to take it a step further, dive into two other exciting factors, composable VM and ETH IBC. Maybe Blast, could you give us a quick intro of the composable VM and how it would interact with Lavana, what implications it could have for both protocols and for users?
Yes. So composable VM is a piece of technology that basically what it does is it helps, you know, the interaction between protocols or chains to be, you know, less cumbersome in some way. So what it does, it can be done, you know, sort of manually in several steps by the user. So ideally, like, for example, if I'm in DOT land, but I want to trade on Lavana, I would need to like bridge my DOT. I would need to, you know, be on Osmosis. I would need to be an injective. And I would just need to like issue, you know, transactions in sort of Cosmos land. And sometimes, you know, this is possible, and sometimes this is not that easy for a lot of users. It's not always also necessary for users to have to learn all this. So ideally, like, how do we abstract all this complexity from users so that they can still, you know, basically use these protocols without having to, you know, go through a rabbit hole of learning. So ideally, you know, the way is like the ideal scenario is you just want to click and you want to trade in Levana as if you were in those chains without you necessarily being there. This is what the, you know, Composable VM does for you. It will use the IBC connections to bridge, and it will just, you know, interact with the Cosmos contracts for you. It would show you, you know, the results of these actions. It will show you where your assets are, what are the balances, and it would allow you also to bring the assets back. That's pretty much it. But I think, you know, this is like a major upgrade for users who actually want to do things cross-chain without having to basically, you know, spend a week understanding how to move and download a new wallet and do everything for, you know, for the new ecosystems. And as things become, you know, more cross-chain aware, I think, you know, this kind of tooling for users becomes more and more relevant. It's just interesting that like last year we were in Cosmoverse and we're actually struggling to come up with, you know, a use case for our tooling. You know, people will come up and say, okay, you know, all this looks great, but like, what are you going to use it for? And, you know, like the underlying technology, the underlying use cases were not there. And like now we just see it like live, you know, people can use Levana, can trade from like Dot. That's pretty cool. And then second question was more like on the ETH IBC side. Can you repeat, Patrick?
Yeah, so pretty much with the extension of IBC to Ethereum, are there any plans to extend the collaboration between Composable and Levana? What can users expect? Is there anything that's been talked about?
Yeah, I mean, like 100%. I don't know exactly what the details are on the Levana token. For example, I know you want to launch one. I don't know where they want to launch it. But yeah, ideally, this is something that potentially would be super interesting, like, you know, bridging it from one side to the other one. And then of course, like, you know, for people from ETH, once we deploy the Composable VM on the ETH side, you know, just giving, you know, Ethereum users the same flow for going to Levana and trade that they can have on Totsama, that's the plan.
Oh, sorry, I'm talking while I'm on mute here. So it's, you know, I think what we're seeing in terms of the obfuscation of the networking layer is a natural result of the maturation of the space. And I will date myself kind of just by comparing it, you know, when I first started using the internet, you know, in the early 90s. So we had CompuServe and the neighbor had Prodigy, and there really was no way for us to be able to talk to each other. And then, you know, in the late 90s, we all switched to AOL, and, you know, there was, now we could, we had, you know, instant messaging and it was,
IRC.
You know, yeah. And then we had, you know, IRC, and then it just slowly evolved where what your internet service provider was less critical to, until it became completely irrelevant. Like, you would never now ask, you know, oh, are you Comcast or are you, you know, Fios, or, you know, because it's not relevant. You don't even ask like what operating system a person has or what browser they're using or what cell phone they have. It's just, you know, it's purely on the application layer. You know, I can talk to you on WhatsApp if you have WhatsApp. I can talk to you on Telegram if you have Telegram, et cetera. And so I think that's what we're seeing here, like with things like MetaMask Snaps, for example, that, you know, now you can hold Bitcoin with your MetaMask, you can hold Cosmos tokens with your MetaMask. You know, what we've seen, you know, with our recent Injective launch is that a person can come and can connect with MetaMask and can, you know, click on the bridge and can send tokens over and start trading. And it never even needs to occur to them what blockchain they're on, because that's not a question that like should ever live in the land of consumers. And so I'm excited, you know, exactly, you know, as you mentioned it, for just Levana just supporting whatever wallet users are using, whatever network that they're coming from, They'll just be able to trade, and they'll just be able to trade because they like the product that we have, not because they feel siloed in or vendor lock in, you know, from any particular blockchain or infrastructure service. And I think that what Composable is doing is really helping to enable this maturation of the space.
I think that's a really good point, and especially on, you know, the maturity of the space. Also, this community question kind of aligns with this. You mentioned ETH IBC. What will this mean for ETH on Levana? Currently, it's available via Axelar. How is this different? Maybe Blas or John, you want to take this, but I think it aligns with the maturity of the space and just, you know, building infrastructure and solutions that are more secure and service the users better. But maybe you have a few words on this.
Sure, to take a shot at that. So, you know, whatever the users want to trade, you know, each bridging solution has its own pros and cons, and you know, has its own fee structure that's associated with it. So I think, you know, at this point where we're still, you know, where we're not quite at the, you know, congealing phase of the asset level, you know, there's there will be, you know, three different types of bridge of Bitcoin on Cosmos. You know, there will be there's a bunch of different types of stable coins. So it really is, it's challenging and almost painful for the builders because there's no excellent way to deal with this. But I think that it's a short-term problem that just naturally will resolve itself because, you know, big liquidity tends to bequeath liquidity, if I'm pronouncing the word correctly. And so I think over time, you know, one of these assets will win, and it probably will be the one that can provide the best user experience, the best trust assumptions, and lowest fees.
Cannot agree more.
Amazing. I see another community question here. Levana obviously is tied in big part to liquidity. How do you see the volume and availability of liquidity changing from this collaboration, if at all?
We're in general optimistic. Look, people, you know, in 2.5 months, LPs have earned over $250,000 on Levana, and there's not a lot of LPs. You know, this is like, you know, I don't know, maybe like a few hundred wallets. That's a lot of money. So I think that just, you know, the fact that we built a better mousetrap is just gonna attract better mice. I don't think that's the analogy, but you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, moving on to the next one. You guys mentioned dot functionalities on Levana. Are there plans to integrate other native tokens from different Polkadot or Kusama parachains?
I mean, we would be happy. Anything that there's demand for, you know, we would be happy to support. From a technical perspective, now, you know, that we are partnered with Composable, I don't think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that there's any more technical lift that's needed from our perspective.
No, I think it's just a matter of liquidity now.
Okay, and just to reiterate, from this collaboration, what is currently live and what is coming in the near/long-term future?
Right now, currently, DOT is available on Levana, and we're looking for liquidity providers in order to help kick off the flywheel. So there's a very shallow liquidity. It's a few thousand dollars, and we're looking for about $50,000 to really kick off the market. What we've seen with, you know, the other, you know, 10, 11 markets that we have launched is that once you get about $50,000 of liquidity, that becomes enough that, you know, it interests leverage traders, and then you get the flywheel of where, you know, fees start kicking in and attracting more people. And then what's coming on the horizon is, you know, is the ability to be able to integrate with more wallets. So including wallets that are native to Polkadot, and being able to support more Polkadot assets in a more seamless experience, where, you know, the user should feel like, oh, I'm just depositing assets into Levana so that I can either earn yield or leverage trade with them, not necessarily, oh, I'm moving to a different blockchain.
I think something that's also very interesting, especially for people that might do like cross-chain operations, is async backing. It's something that, you know, is a feature that comes to Polkadot. I mean, it's already there, and it's just going to reduce latency by half, which is, I think, it's going to make the UX better. So something just to be aware of. But I think the world is going to look a bit better. And again, like, we're striving to make the experience of, you know, trading from Polkadot to Levana as one click as possible.
Nice. On the note of UX, here's another question that just came in. Sounds exciting. Dot perps yield. We'll definitely check it out. But in simple terms, what steps do I need to take advantage of this? I haven't really engaged with Cosmos or Cosmos chains and assets.
I can take this. Yes. So you just basically first you want to right now. It's sort of two-step operation. So you have your dot on the Polkadot, you know, relay chain, for example. Then you can transfer it using our IBC bridge. So on aptos.trustless.som, it goes to Osmosis, and then, you know, basically you go to Levana website and you just trade.
Yep, so it's pretty seamless. And if you want, you know, if you want a VIP tour of working with Levana, you know, you can, I'd say, hop into our Discord link and just say, hey, how can I get a, you know, a tour of the app? And we'll get somebody to set up a time with you to, you know, to do a live video call and just walk you through the whole process. You know, we've done, in the last 2 months, we've had over 200 people take us up on that offer. And, you know, we've learned just as much from the experience as they have. And you can find our Discord link through our Twitter handle, which, you know, is Levana_protocol.
Amazing. Thank you. I mean, John, you talked a lot about the maturity and convergence. Love to hear your thoughts on just, you know, IBC everywhere, convergence of ecosystems, the importance of extending IBC rather than utilizing, you know, solutions that may have vulnerabilities or have centralized components. Just your thoughts on the space overall, and IBC's role in the future.
Well, I think ultimately the you know, bridging is really critical. It's a very powerful financial service, you know, to be able to take liquidity and funds from one network and express it on another network. So it's, you know, one of the core services that is required as a, you know, as a base feature of any, you know, financial system that we're building here. And, you know, and I think ultimately what we are building is a financial system which needs to be robust and, you know, and have redundancies. And so as I think the free market, you know, gets to really play a huge role here, that the capital efficiency and security measures associated with you know, IBC will gradually win favor over less robust, less censorship resistant alternative, less capital efficient alternatives. And so we'll just see, you know, we're seeing it already with you know, Avalanche, you know, has methods that are adding support for IBC. You know, we're getting at you know, these bridges to Ethereum. We've got Polkadot already. We've got amongst all of the Cosmos applications. So it's really a very robust, and I think they're really, you know, there isn't a second place choice here. You know, the second place is like so far behind that I think that the, you know, the lead will just continue to grow between IBC and other bridges until other bridges decide they don't want the overhead and risks associated with you know, with managing their own technology. So rather, they will just become a front end for the IBC tech.
Okay, nice. And also, you know, why Cosmos? Was there any plans for you guys to deploy outside of Cosmos, like Solana?
Yes, absolutely. Not specifically Solana, but I think it's important mm-hmm. that there be an EVM version of Lavana someday. It's not like it's not actively being worked on right now, mostly just because we're poor and it costs a lot of money to do that. It's a bear market. It's been the longest bear market in crypto. But, you know, I think that what I've seen is, especially coming like from the mobile world, you know, that the native apps you tend to, you know, trying to make an app in like a web view, you know, to run on iOS or on Android, you're always going to kind of have levels of friction that you won't have when you're natively built in each environment. So that's just that's just where we're at in the ecosystem today. I don't think that it's where we'll be in 5 years and definitely not in 10 years, but it is, you know, I think the reality of the market today. So, you know, we could definitely see an EVM version of Lavana, you know, over the next 18 months. But in the meantime, being able to access the users that are within the EVM markets, you know, is far closer. You know, we're already live today with Injective with MetaMask support, and we'll just add more with Snaps. And, you know, Polkadot, you know, this is our first entrance into the whole world of Polkadot. And, you know, in terms of Solana itself, no specific plans, but, you know, we're definitely keeping an eye open on the growth of that ecosystem, you know, same thing with Near Protocol and, you know, with a few others that we're fans of. But, you know, we're still kind of like a scrappy small team, with, you know, limited resources and capital. So it's just important to double down on your wins and just focus on, you know, serving the user base that's currently providing liquidity and enjoying your protocol.
Do you feel that there are any particular IBC connections to any chains or ecosystems that would kind of accelerate the shift of usage from centralized perp protocols to decentralized perp protocols?
I don't think so. I don't think that the weakest link here is on the bridging. I think the weakest link is probably on, you know, fee infrastructure, and just pure liquidity. You know, it's very hard to compete with Binance or KuCoin because they can, you know, like literally charge nothing, and they, you know, can just run certain parts of their business at a loss, you know, versus others. And they just have an economy of scale that, you know, a scrappy startup DeFi protocol is not going to have. And they don't have, you know, some of the chat. They can deploy their own capital or, you know, friends and family capital, you know, at multiple orders of magnitude, you know, larger scale. So I think that we, you know, we have to strive to build a better product, and we have to, you know, strive to, you know, to be part of a greater ecosystem where kind of the moat is that, you know, everything's done from my wallet, and I don't want to take on those extra trust assumptions, you know, from centralized services externally.
Okay. Sir Bless, this is kind of the first spaces we've had since Cosmoverse, and a lot has happened. Maybe you want to take a moment to highlight some of the launches, the ETH IBC testnet, as well as the research forum, what's been going on, how can people get involved?
Yeah, I think something that we're really excited about is basically rolling up this new concept of an emulated, you know, layer on top of a blockchain. So we have, you know, while trying to bring IBC to different ecosystems, we've faced some challenges of, you know, sort of the host blockchains not being able to, you know, fulfill the requirements to basically bridge to them. We've seen this initially like a year ago, more working on Solana. Then we've seen this also near protocol, both, you know, mentioned recently. I mean, these are kind of exciting ecosystems to not disregard. Also with other ones, like, yeah. So you know, kind of we step back and thought, okay, what can we do, you know, to sort of, yeah, overcome these challenges. And we've been working a bit more on the research side with the University of Lisbon to sort of understand what we could do, what extra, you know, trust assumptions were we, you know, introducing, how to basically secure the network and still make it possible, make it IBC compatible. And, you know, we published something on our research forum lately. We're working on an implementation that we're really, like, you know, trying to bring it to Solana Breakpoint to, like, share it with you know, with the community there and, like, you know, start getting some feedback. It is kind of a novel, you know, approach. And this is something that we're, like, truly excited about. We're working really hard to make this possible. So yeah, I'd say, you know, aside from what we've been doing on ETH, I think that's something that I personally feel very excited. And I think that's going to bring use cases, innovation, and some, you know, technical debate around, you know, people, experts in the interoperability space that we're really looking forward to, you know, engage with. And I think ultimately, you know, this will translate on more volume, more, you know, cross-pollination, and this is what we're here to do.
Amazing. On that note, I'm checking to see if there's any more community questions. If not, blast John, any closing remarks, notes, thoughts, alpha leaks, shout-outs, anything?
If you've made it to this point, go to trade.lavana.finance. Check out the earn section, deposit some assets, trade. You can trade 100x leverage and 4x. You can trade some synthetic assets like, you know, BNB with 30x leverage. You know, do you think Binance is going to, you know, is it all hot air or are they the next FTX? You know, you can express your opinion in the market, which is, you know, I think the best way to express your opinion. You know, you can trade on your favorite crypto assets, including DOT, and you should join our wonderful community on Discord and on Twitter to be able to give feedback. And if you want a VIP tour, just hop in and just ask for one on the Discord.
Yeah, my closing remarks are, I'm truly excited about Levana, not only because of the product that they're building, but also I really like the mentality of trying to tear down a lot of the sort of concepts and frictions that we're, you know, we have been building in crypto in the last, you know, couple of years. I've seen your talk with Jack on this and how, you know, we make it really hard for Web2 users to come to Web3. So I'm really, you know, confident that, you know, projects like this one, with the mentality and the attitude and really being efficient on all fronts and operating really like one step at a time are going to be successful. And I'm going to also like basically teach everybody, you know, good lessons that we can all learn.
Absolutely. That's I'm so honored that you listened to my interview with Jack. I mean, it was a fabulous interview. I really enjoyed it. I know how busy you are. So it was great. Another thing that I wanted to mention is with Injective, we just launched a Galaxy campaign. So if you want to earn magical internet points through Galaxy, you can go and you know, use our campaign. I know we tweeted it about it a couple times. And, you know, pretty much there, you just have to follow us on social accounts, Discord and Twitter. And then you have to make at least one trade on the INJ market. And then you get, you know, a bunch of these Galaxy points, which have absolutely no use right now. But who knows what they would have in the future.
Go farm, sirs.
On that note, thank you guys for joining. Give everyone a follow. Follow Blast. Jonathan's Twitter is also linked in the announcement. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Blast. Thank you, John.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye, Blusher.
Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.